Good morning, church.
Morning.
We're in the book of Psalms, Psalm 18. We are going to walk through Psalm 18 next few weeks. We talked last Sunday about the first few verses of Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. This psalm is about David's deliverance from Saul, who sought his life for many, many years, made at least 5 attempts on his life, and in fact, it also would include all of those that really sought to do David harm. His own son sought to take the kingdom from David and have his own father killed. And Absalom was that man's name. Of course, he came to a terrible demise in his life because of that. But this whole psalm is written from David's point of view. He begins by telling us about God's miraculous power to deliver his people. In fact, he used 9 character traits of omnipotence in those early verses to describe the God that could deliver. You know, there are things that we can't get out of ourselves. There are difficulties we face that overwhelm us. But God is the God of deliverance. And he certainly delivered David. When we get to the next 3 verses, 4, 5, and 6, David takes a backward view and describes his condition that he was in that required God's deliverance. So he's going to tell us what it was like in those days of difficulty, those days of persecution, those days of sorrow and heartache. And he's going to tell us about it. The great thing about that is the same God that worked in David's life is alive and well today and can work in our life. I don't know what it is that you're facing. I have no idea all that comes upon God's people, but I do know this, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so this morning, let's look at what David has to say about his condition in those years of persecution and heartache and attack, and find out what it is that David did. All right? So let's look together. We're again under that title as Song of Deliverance. We want to look first of all, at how David describes his condition. How David describes his condition. That's found for us in verses 4 and 5. David describes for us his condition. He says this, "The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me. The snares of death prevented me." Now, on the surface, those are words that we hear, and they are words that may carry some weight with us. But in the Hebrew tongue, the language that this passage was written in, the whole New Testament was written in either Hebrew or Aramaic. And the Hebrew here is very, very picturesque. It's very descriptive. And for us to get the full view of what David was saying, we need to see what the Hebrew meant in these conditions. And secondly, it will help us understand the condition of his heart. Because David's heart was at a time of complete overwhelmingness. He could not express with greater language the anguish that he felt. And so let's look at that. The first phrase is an important phrase. He says, the sorrow of death compassed me. That word sorrow is a word that was used to describe a noose, a rope that would have been around one's body or neck to control them and eventually deliver them to their demise. So he says, the sorrows, the noose around my neck, so to speak, was dragging me away. I was unable to stop it. And he called this the sorrows of death. That's the word that we use today to describe the process of dying. How we get to the end of our life and how we pass away. Some people die well. Some people do not. In this condition, David said, I felt as though I was being dragged to death, that I was being pulled in the direction and I could not stop it, that it was so overwhelming a feeling that I felt as though I was going down and that I would soon take my last breath. Think of that when you think of the sorrows that were encompassing the heart of David. I felt as though I were about to die, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. I was bound up, heading in that direction. In our day-to-day lives, though we may not express it quite this firmly, there are times when we feel as though we would die. I don't know what it is that would get you in that condition, but I do know this. There are things that people face today, and we face daily sometimes, a kind of despondency and heartache to the point that we cannot look up, that we simply face the day thinking that this could be the last day. It's a terrible condition to be in. And David said, you want to know how I felt while this was all going on? This is how I felt. I felt like the sorrows of death had compassed me. That word compass is an incredible word. It means to be hemmed in. It's a picture of trying to walk through a small cut in the rock. And as you're going through, it gets tighter and tighter. And eventually it gets so tight you can't move left, right, forward, or backward. You're caught. You're trapped. In other words, it seems as though this is never going to stop, that I'm stuck there, that I can't get beyond that, that I'm overwhelmed by it. Three little words, sorrow, death, compass, but listen to the meaning and how powerful they are and how they reflect what can happen in a condition when you are so under attack. You are so overwhelmed by the circumstances that you get to the place where you feel as though you've been dragged about as far as you can be dragged, and you now are stuck in that condition and can't move away from it, that you may as well just die. That's the condition that David felt he was in. The sorrows of death compassed me. Then he says, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Men can say and do things that cut to the quick, can't they? People can hurt you. People can attack you. People can threaten you. All you have to do is look at some of the things that are reported in our newspaper, man's inhumanity to man. It's unbelievable. How could anybody do that? Yet they do. Then you come home and there's domestic violence that is beyond the reach of even most policemen. The worst kind of call a policeman can get is a domestic violence call. The wife is being beaten by the husband or the child even. Where there's terrible things going on in that home. But wait a minute. In the workplace, in the marketplace, in any relationship, you can be crushed. And it says, it calls it here, the floods of ungodly men. It doesn't mean necessarily that they were a constant ungodliness, but their actions that they were doing at the time were ungodly. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The word floods literally has a thought of a rushing river. You're standing in the middle of a field as though you're free, and all of a sudden the banks break open and this flood covers you and washes you away. We've just seen that happen in two states and one island where the floods literally washed people away. If you remember Florida when that hurricane hit, it sucked all the water out of the bay area, or out of the oceanside area. They said what was 12 feet away now was 250 feet away, the water. But then it all came rushing in, 10 feet higher than it was. The flood. And this is called the floods of ungodly men. Men who did not care for your state. Men who did not want to help. Men whose only design was to hurt you. Though they may have been acting that way, not thinking of the result, it still doesn't change the hurt. When I was very young, my dad took me to Klickitat, Washington. That's where he lived and was born. Klickitat, Washington is across the Columbia River from the Dalles, Oregon. It's only about a 30-mile trip, but it takes 2 hours because the roads are like this. You meet yourself coming back. How many ever been on one of those roads? They're incredible to drive on. And you'd better make sure if you get easily sick and riding a car that you take as many pills as you can, because you will surely get sick on that little ride. When we got there, I was only 12 years old, and he wanted to take me fishing down in the Klickitat River. Today it is a class 4 trout river, a golden trout river it would be called. He took me down there and he walked me, and we went right up just below the Klickitat Gorge. That may not sound bad to you, but I'm telling you, once you got within 100 yards of that place, you could not hear yourself think. The water was coming through there at such a speed and so powerful that if anyone were to fall in that, they would be dead instantly. And when I read this, the floods of ungodly men, I pictured myself falling into that gorge and it overwhelming me, and there was nothing that I personally in my own ability could do to help myself. I was simply overcome. It devastated me. Destructive, wicked statements, hurtful things Do you understand that Satan has your ruin in mind? Doesn't want you to be happy. Doesn't want you to have peace. And he doesn't necessarily even want you to die. But he wants you to feel like it. See, Satan rather have a spiritually dead Christian who is damaged to the point where they can't function anymore than simply a dead Christian. Because a spiritually dead Christian is neither any good to himself nor to the service of God. And so Satan's going to find every point that you are dealing with that is a difficulty for you to deal with. And he's going to press all those buttons, every single one of them, because he wants to defeat you. He wants you to live a defeated life. And then it says that it made him afraid. The word afraid here is terrified. Terrified. To be overcome with fear. It's a fear at the high water mark. It's pursuing you toward the precipice. It was actually happening to David. This was not a fear of something that might happen. This was a fear during it happening, that it was actually taking place. He was being overwhelmed and overcome by the attack of ungodly men. And that attack can come in many ways. It can come subtly. It can come suddenly. It can come when you feel safe. It can come when you're already overwhelmed. It's a terrible thing. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Then he says a third thing. The sorrows of hell compassed me. Before he said the sorrows of death. This word hell is the word in the Old Testament, Sheol. We spelt it today be S-H-E-O-L, Sheol. And it means the place of all departed spirits. It doesn't mean the same as the word hell in the New Testament. New Testament, it's the place of those departed spirits who do not know God. In the Old Testament, it was a place of all departed spirits. They were in two different places. The New Testament, Luke chapter 16, talks about that. And so he said that the sorrows of hell, that place where I will go and I'll never return here again, I'll never have the same interaction again when I go there. I'll miss all of that. He said, I feel as though I'm being pulled down into hell. And the sorrows there is a similar word to the word sorrows in our other verse, but it means the ropes of letting or the ropes that let down. And the thought is this. How many of you have seen an old burial where they put ropes underneath the casket that let it down into the grave? Person is already dead. That's the picture. The ropes are letting me down. And it's as though he's screaming at the height of his voice, no! But it seems to be overtaking him and there seems to be nothing he can do. Do you understand the condition David was in? We can be a similar condition. It could not be stopped. He felt completely helpless. He was in great despondency, overcome with it. You say, can that happen to a believer? Listen to this. Paul wrote this. Great Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 1:8. For we would not have you to be ignorant of our trouble. That word trouble means attacks, persecution, trials, which came upon us in Asia, that we were pressed beyond measure, above strength, so much so that we despaired even of life. That happened to Paul. The sorrows of hell compassed me. Then he said one more thing about his condition. He said this: the snares of death prevented me. A snare is a trap used to catch a wild animal. The word prevented means to be placed in front of. A similar word in the New Testament. Those of us that have died will not prevent. Those of us that are alive will not prevent those that have passed away in the rapture. The word prevent means won't go before. So this word prevent here means to lie before or place before. So what happened was that the walkway became so cluttered with traps, you couldn't take a step without possibly stepping in a trap. It's an incredible picture. In front of, set in the way that I was going, many of them, if I had missed one, surely I would be caught by another. That's the thought here. So now, do you see the condition of David? It's a gloomy place. It's a terrible place. It's an awful place. Maybe you're there, maybe you've been there, maybe you don't want to go there. But I'm glad that David didn't just stay there. I'm glad that he did something else, and this is his deliverance. It's an incredible statement. Notice what David says. He pleads with God in verse number 6. He says this: in my distress, all God's people said. That seems in our language like too light a word to describe what we've just looked at. But distress, a narrow passage into which one enters and never comes out. Distress. He said, in my distress I called. I called. This should be the automatic response to a fearful or terrible condition. In fact, it should be our response for any need to call. He didn't just say, I called. He said, I called upon the name of the Lord. Here's what the word called means. Wonderful. It means that I talked to the only one that could help. I called. And it means to call out with some force and some vigor. So can't you just see David sitting there and calling out to God and saying, and who did he say? I cried out to the Lord. Again, let's remember what Jehovah means. The one who keeps his promise. The one who never fails. The one who is the God of all power and glory. That's the one he cried to. Lord! He's cried out to God. And it has a thought of crying out to God, hoping that he will hear. When we were younger, we always went up to above Auburn, California. There's a lot of pine trees, a lot of oak trees, and we played army up there. They say your children should not play with guns any longer. We did. Played with not cork guns, we played with BB guns. We shot at each other. I didn't say we were the smartest group of kids. I just said we went up and played war. My brother was running and eventually got away, and so we started looking for him, and it started getting darker. Pretty soon, it wasn't funny anymore. He was out there somewhere, and we didn't know where he was, so we called out his name as loud as we could shout. And he was some distance away. He answered, but we didn't hear him. We kept calling, and eventually we heard, and we found him. That's the picture here. I called out. And the Bible says in this same passage, my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple. Heaven often is referred to as the temple of God or the abode of God. And it's as though David is crying out. Just think of this. He's crying out to God. And because God seemed to David to be so far away, and doesn't God feel far away when you're in the middle of despondency or heartache? God doesn't feel near. It's an emotional reaction we have. So David is crying out to God, begging God, Lord, hear my prayer. And it traveled the miles from David's mouth there in Israel, all the way to heaven. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of miles away. And God heard it in his temple. But not only did God hear it, he reacted to it. Look at this reaction. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Here's the thought. God heard every nuance of heartache in the voice of David. God heard every cry that David made. God heard every kind of enunciation that would express David's deep hurt. He heard it all. He not only heard the words, he heard the feeling behind the words. And they went into his ear. And the Bible indicates that when that happens, God is on the move, all God's people said.
Amen.
And God heard the cry of David. And God moved in to meet David's needs. And he met every need. Though David suffered terribly, though David was despondent, though David faced terrible things, God heard his voice and they entered into his ears. God came to help David, to send his aid. He did it because he loved David. Folks, the same God that David cried to, the same God that heard David's plea, is your God. And no matter where you're at, no matter what difficulty you're facing, no matter what heartache may be in your life, listen to me very carefully. God will hear, and God will answer, and God will take care of you. All God's people said. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the love of God, for the joy of knowing you, and Father, for the promise that you will hear and answer. Call unto me all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God, help us to call. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.